Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4:18-19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28:19-20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host, and as I always love to say, it is my privilege and my pleasure to be back amongst my listening audience once again. I know it's nothing but by the grace of God, for He is the head of my life. Having said that, let us go to the throne of grace. Father God, we just come again thanking You, Master, for allowing us this time and this privilege to study Your holy and inspired word. We pray now, Lord, that we will be more conformed to the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask now, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will come and be our master teacher, lead, guide, and direct our pathways. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for His name's sake. Amen. For those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, we're in the study of the book of Acts. We're in chapter 4. We were looking at verses 17 through 22, the last few programs. And I just want to kind of give a quick synopsis of those verses. I won't even bother reading just yet, but I want to talk about that Peter and John were arrested for the healing of the lame man who was above 40 years old, and they had been brought before the Sanhedrin. But yet and still, the thing that I get so inspired about this case is they loved the Lord so much that they decided that it was better for them to preach the gospel than not to preach the gospel. They had to do what God would have them to do. Peter and John refused to compromise their message. There were actually two important reasons. First of all, God is to be obeyed before men. So we must always understand that it is our responsibility to obey God over man. And secondly, a man must testify to what he has seen and heard. You know, I just wonder sometimes how much more powerful our testimonies would be if we would truly open up and let people know what we used to be like, and then how the power of the Word of God has transformed and changed our lives. Well, let's pick this up in verse 23. And being let go, they went into their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. We see now that they come together with humility. Peter and John had been released, and as soon as they were released, they sought after their fellow believers. They sought after the church. It more than like there might even been a prayer meeting or church service going on, and they catch up and they reported and shared their experience with the church. Now, I want you to note a couple of striking facts. Peter and John were not depressed. They weren't discouraged. They weren't downcast. Neither were they stricken with fear or trembling. They were empowered, if you will, by the fact that they had been persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. Peter and John were not puffed up. They were not filled with pride. They were not putting themselves above everybody because they said, hey, we're so powerful that they picked on us. They weren't boasting. They weren't claiming to be God's special servants. They were just being used of the Most High God. And for that, their testimony shows their humility, understanding that it was not anything that they did, but what it is what God has done for them. Now, the concern of Peter and John was to encourage and to edify, to build up the church, and to warn them of the coming persecution that lay over the horizon. Now, you and I, that we must kind of get something settled in our hearts and in our minds. When we truly are doing the work of the Lord, we shall be persecuted. The enemy will not sit idly by and allow us to make headway, if you will, for the kingdom of God. So therefore, when you and I really get serious about God, the enemy will get serious about us. And unfortunately, many times the persecution comes within the household of faith. That is always mind-boggling to me. Sometimes the biggest hurts and wounds that we suffer as a child of God comes from the body of Christ rather than the outside world. I expect to be attacked. I expect to be persecuted. I expect to be lied on. I expect to be talked about by the world, but I do not expect that coming from the body of Christ. Yet the reality is it many times does. The church could do but one thing. It triumphantly lifted up the voice in prayer. But note that the prayer was triumphant and united with one accord. Now, this is something that I am just penetrating my heart. It just keeps me focused, and it keeps me in a state of awe. It keeps me at a state of unrest, if you will, because when I see and read in the New Testament, in particular in the book of Acts, and we talk about the birth of the church and them being on one accord, and we see the power of God being released because of their unity, it makes me wonder, why can we not today do the same identical thing? Now, listen, when they were in there and they were praying on one accord, they weren't just praying with some people praying for one thing and others praying for other things and people's minds were wandering. No, they had the mission of God at heart. They were on one accord. They wanted to move forward the kingdom of God. They realized that they had to have the power of God in order to advance his kingdom. And yet, and still today, we seem like we can try and do things in and of ourselves. I know sometimes I'm guilty of that myself. Sometimes I think that I'm serving God so well that God will do these things just because of my effort in serving him. But I must always realize and understand that God will only do it because he is God. It is not about my goodness. I'm just a vessel to be used of him. So therefore, I must crucify myself on a daily basis and follow Christ. Are you praying with me? Matthew 18:19 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. Mark 11:24 says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now, these verses are not giving us carte blanche just to ask anything that we think we can get from God. But when we ask with the very heart of God, then God will move in such a manner, in such a way that he will grant what is on our heart, because our heart will be in unison with his heart. Now, let's look at verse 24 again. And it says, and they heard that, and they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now we see here that they are praising God for his power as being the creator of the universe, that God is the one who created the universe and its massiveness, and God alone is the one who has the omnipotent power to create, and therefore there's no one, no person, no being, no ruling body, no nation, not even a world that can stand and stop his will or his power. This is what the church's great conviction of God's power ought to be about. We serve the Most High God. And we know that, note the phrase, heaven and earth and then sea and all that is in them. It encompasses all the earth, everything upon the earth, everything in the sea, everything on the land, everything in the air, the in the lower heavens, the atmosphere, in the middle heavens, outer space, and all the ultimate heavens beyond space and time where Christ is. God is in control of all things, and for that we must praise God for who he is and what he has done for us. All things, whether they are visible or invisible, have been created by our sovereign Lord of the universe. He and he alone is God. He is the one who possesses all power, the one whose will and purpose will be victorious, and more immediately and more at hand, he is the one who cares for, loves, and oversees all those who serve him. So when you and I, our hearts are intent on serving God, we must empty ourselves of ourselves and follow the will of God. And when we do that, we will find that we will be blessed of God. Amen. Let's move on to verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And that's like I was saying before, that when you and I do the things of the Most High God, when we are trying to live a holy and righteous life, there will be those who will come and try to persecute us, get us off the mark, dissuade us from doing the things that God would have us to do, to make us feel as if we are hopeless and God has forgotten about us. But yes, we must stand strong and we must obey our God. We must know that He has the wisdom of the universe, and no matter what we go through, God is on our side, and nothing but nothing can separate us from the love of God. God planned and overruled man's opposition. And from the dawn of time, when the evil one stepped foot into the garden and caused Adam and Eve to succumb to his trickery, since that point on, God has demonstrated His love by giving of His only begotten Son. Let's look at verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, I have to watch the clock on the wall, but I need to make this statement. Many times we are getting debates on who killed Jesus. There are those that say that the Jews killed Jesus. There are those that say that the Romans killed Jesus. There are those that will say theologically that sin killed Jesus. But I'm here to tell you today, it was love that killed Jesus. For John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When we really meditate on that and realize that God loved us so much that He allowed His Son, His only begotten Son, to die for us, then we must praise and give thanks for what He has done. Well, I don't want to go too much further because the clock on the wall says, well, it's about time to wind this program down again for another week. But I would encourage you to pray for me as I pray for you. And please tune in. Tell someone about this program. And if you're able, go on to our website, www.smbcmesa.org, and look us up. And if you're able, to stop by and worship with us on one Sunday. Thank you once again for allowing me to come into your listening pleasure and audience. And we'll see you again next week as we study together the Word of God. Hope you have a wonderful worship day. Take care, and God bless you.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. It's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.